Philippians chapter 4, and I'll tell you, I was coming down the road, and I said, Lord, I had some sermons. Every preacher has sermons, but I'm always looking for the message and not a sermon. And I said, Lord, if you want me to preach tonight, would you lay something on my heart? And I was thinking about maybe something I had studied and something I had prepared that I hadn't preached. And I tell you, God just dropped this verse in my lap and this thought, and so this is what I want you to preach tonight. And I praise God for the Holy Spirit. Amen. We cannot figure anything out. We don't know. I don't even know what I need from day to day, let alone know what you need. But God knows what we all need. And I thought about the singing tonight, from the congregational to the choir to all these specials. We've been so blessed, haven't we? To be able to come to church, Brother Laddie, on Wednesday night and hear some good singing and Bible preaching. May not be the best preaching, but I promise you it's going to be Bible preaching. Amen. Amen. And because that's the only real kind of preaching. Amen. Amen. And but I'm thankful we still have a place to come in 2026. And we have young people. Isn't that a blessing to have young people in your church? And we have older people. And we have middle-aged people. Don't you think, God, we got a variety of people. Amen. And God has been so good to us. And I want to preach from Philippians chapter number 4 tonight. I'll have you stand for just one familiar verse of Scripture that I've preached from before and you've heard preached many times, but the Lord just really impressed this verse on my heart this evening, and so I pray God will speak to us and through us. Verse number 8, he said, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise," I want you to notice these last four words, "think on these things." Heavenly Father, I pray tonight in Jesus' name that you would help us these next few moments. I want to thank you for your people. Lord, they could have been anywhere else tonight, but they chose to come to church. And Lord, I pray you'll bless every individual that's here tonight. Thank you for the good singing. I ask you now, Lord, that you would touch us and fill us tonight for the glory of God. And may you help our hearts and may you draw us near to you. And we thank you for the Word of God tonight. And we ask now for your will to be done. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated tonight. Of course, we know that the book of Philippians is a book that talks much about joy, and it emphasizes much on the mind. Amen. When we come to chapter number 1, Paul talks about the single mind. Then in chapter number 2, he talks about the submissive mind. Then in chapter number 3, he talks about the spiritual mind. Chapter number 4, Paul, he talks about the secure mind. And so the emphasis in these four chapters is on the mind. And then we come to verse number 8 here, and we notice that he said, "Finally, brethren," here. So God gave us two very important things to help us function in this life. Number 1, he gave us a Bible. Amen. And then number 2, he gave us a brain. Amen. You see, everything in life comes down to two things. It comes down to commandments. It comes down to the Scriptures. And then it comes down to just common sense, just a sound mind. If you have to make a decision tonight, I would say that make that decision based on two things. Number 1, don't make it on your common sense first, but make it on the Scriptures first. Make every decision based on the Word of God. And then sometimes it's just plain common sense, where we should not complicate the Word of God. We should not complicate the will of God. God gave us a Bible to read and to learn and to have understanding. Amen. We have knowledge, we have understanding, and we have wisdom. Amen. Now you can have knowledge and not have understanding. You can have knowledge and understanding, but yet not have wisdom. You see, when a person gets knowledge, and then as they study, they can get understanding. And then wisdom comes from God. The Bible said, "If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not." So God gives a man the wisdom. That's the ability to take the knowledge that he understands and use it in the right form, in the right fashion. Amen. And so we have a Bible, we have a brain, and all of the free us is so that we can function in this walk of life. And so you say, Brother Gravely, what does that have to do with this verse? Well, you know, Proverbs 23 and verse 7 says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Amen? And so our thought process is very important. What we think about, what we dwell upon, it's very important for our daily function in life. Amen? As Brother Brian, Brother Williams was already mentioning earlier about daily Bible reading and meditating and thinking, and he's talking about how that it changes our day. And certainly that is true. Amen? God gave us this book so that we could think upon this book. And you know, that's what we should do with the Bible. The Bible said in 1 Timothy chapter 6 that we're to give attendance to reading, to exhortation, and doctrine. So we are to read the Bible. Then 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15 tells us a study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So we are to study our Bible. We're to read our Bible. We're to study it. To study something means to examine. It means to take a closer look at it. Isn't that right? And so what am I to do with this book? I'm to read this book every day. And then I'm to examine this book. I am to study this book. David said, thy word in the book of Psalms. He said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God, against thee. And so then we are to memorize this book. And then Psalms chapter 1 and verse number 2, the Bible talks about that blessed man. And the word of God said that in his law doth he meditate day and night. So we're to read the Bible, we're to study the Bible, we're to memorize the Bible, and then we have something to meditate on. We are to meditate upon the Bible. And so we are to think. When we come to this verse of Scripture tonight, I want you to notice Paul's conclusion here as he says finally. He's bringing everything down to this process, this thought process. Paul mentions the crowd. He says, finally, brethren. Note that Paul is not talking to the world. Amen? You see, the world, they got their conscience is dead. They do not have a God conscience. They are dead in their trespasses and sin. But if you're saved tonight, the Holy Spirit lives in your heart and your mind has been illuminated. It's been quickened by the Spirit of God. And so therefore, you can have a sound mind. You can read the Bible. You know, the Word of God says that the natural man receiveth not the things of God. But if you're saved tonight, the Holy Spirit will take this Bible and He'll connect it to you and He'll speak to you and you can think upon these things. And so there's Paul's conclusion. There is Paul's crowd. And then there is Paul's collection here. Paul gives a collection of things that he wants us to think about. And then finally, there's Paul's charge. Those last four words, look at them. Think on these things. I want to preach a few minutes tonight on this subject, on think, brother, think. Think, brother, think. Paul said, finally, brethren. And he lists a whole list of things here. And he said, when he gets to the end of that list, he said, finally, brethren, here's what I want you to do. I want you to take this collection of things that I've given you, and I want to give you a charge. I want you to think on these things. Now, the question tonight is this for all of us. What do you think about throughout the day? I thought about how much your testimony, Brother Brian, Brother Williams, went with the sermon tonight. What is it we think about? We think about a lot of things throughout the day. But when you take those four words that is mentioned, the word think, it deals with the conscience, doesn't it? Then he says think on. That has to do with the commitment or it could even say the consistency. Think on, brother. Amen? But he's thinking about the commitment. You and I have to commit as to what we're going to think on. Amen? And then he uses the word these here. It has to do with the categories. He's zeroing in on the things that he has listed. And then the word things has to do with the content. You see, the things that Paul has mentioned in this text, they're not just any. I want to tell you something. These things that Paul listed, they are deep subjects. They have deep content, and they'll have a deep effect on our life if we'll think on these things tonight. Now, I want you to notice the perimeter of thinking tonight. Paul uses one word several times in verse 8. He said, finally, brethren, here it is, whatsoever. Paul said, I'll give you the perimeter of where your mind and my mind is supposed to operate in. It's in whatsoever. Paul said, I'm going to list some things, and these things, I'll tell you the perimeter that all these things consist of. It's whatsoever attaches to them. Anything that has to do with truth, anything that has to do with honesty, anything that has to do with purity, anything that has to do with that's lovely, anything that has to do with something that is of a good report or that is just, or anything that whatsoever, anything that is attached to virtue, if anything is attached to praise, Paul said, if you find something going down that avenue, he said, that's the whatsoever. You know, I like God's perimeters, amen? You see, for salvation, his perimeter is whosoever. Amen. It's not selected to just a few, but when it comes to salvation, the perimeter is so far and so wide that it includes all the world. For God so loved the world. You say, well, how big is God's perimeter of salvation? It's anybody and everybody. It's red, yellow, black, or white. If you want to get in free, and it doesn't matter if it's Sunday morning, Sunday night, or Wednesday night, you're a whosoever. You can get in. That's God's perimeter for salvation. Amen. And then God's perimeter for thinking on things is whatsoever. Whatsoever is connected to these things. That's what he wants you to think about. Now people think about a lot of things, don't they? They think about their job. They think about their bills. They think about their problems, their trials in life. They think about all types of things. Many people think about things that they read and things that they watch on television. Some people think about music and all of these things in life that comes our way. Paul said the perimeter has to be attached to the list of things. Whatsoever. You know, God gave us eyes and he gave us ears, didn't he? Could use more than about three amens tonight. Y'all come alive a little bit. I know it's Wednesday night, but you can pull it up, amen. But I'm telling you tonight, the perimeter of things is this. There's a lot of things, the eye, the ear, what we see, what goes in through our eyes, what goes in through our ears, where does it go? It first goes to our brain, is that right? Our conscience. I'm not talking about the organ that is between your ears, but I'm talking about the mind. I'm talking about the conscience that God gave you. What goes through our eyes and what goes through our ears, that's the perimeter. That's going to be the whatsoever in our life. That's why you have to be careful with technology. Is you have to be careful what you see. You know, I like the little song, be careful little eyes what you see. Be careful little ears what you hear. Be careful little feet where you go. Be careful little hands what you do. There's a Father up above, Proverbs 15:3, the eyes of the Lord in every place, beholding the evil and the good, looking down in love. Be careful little eyes what you see. Little ears what you hear. Little hands what you feel. Little feet where you go. Whatsoever. You see, you and I have we are the gatekeepers of our eyes and our ears, and we have the responsibility of what's going to go in and what's going to lodge there. As I mentioned the other day, you and I may see a billboard, something that's ungodly, something that is wicked, that we didn't intend to see that, but we don't have to dwell on it. We don't have to think on it. You see, just because I see something doesn't mean I have to think on it. It's a choice to think on something. So there's the perimeter of our thinking. What are we letting in? What do you let in your eyes? What do you let in your ears? Because whatever you let in your eyes, whatever you let in your ears, it goes to your mind. And if you let it lodge there, guess where it's headed to next? Your heart. That's the way it is. And you say, well, if it goes in my eyes, if it goes in my ears, and then it goes to my mind, then it gets down in my heart, that it doesn't stop there. It comes out in your life. You see, but nobody ever committed a sin outwardly until they first thought about it inwardly. It has to come from the inside. And they come out the perimeter. And Paul wants to help us to not go there. So God give us a good perimeter. God give us a good area. And then there's the path. He's going to lay out some things here that's going to help our thinking. You know, I'm glad the Bible gives us a path that you and I can go down. God don't just save us and say, well, now you do the best you can and you live the best way you know how until you get to heaven and I'll see you on the other side. God. Oh no, I'm telling you, He gave us the Word of God. He gives us the Spirit of God, and the Word of God and the Spirit instructs us, and the Spirit of God guides us. It'll help our thinking. It'll help our walking. It'll help our talking. You know why? Because God's interested in the path that we're going down. You know, I was the day our children was born, we were thankful that they were born. But we didn't just say, well, they're here. That's good. That's the end of it. No. Every parent has a path. And when your children are coming up, you know what you're doing? You're trying to help them go down the path, amen? Because you want them to go the right way. God has a path, and God has a plan, amen? And so on that path, God said, I'll just give you some markers to think about. The marker, the path of honesty. Whatsoever things are true, and whatsoever things are honest. How do we get honesty? We get honesty from truth, don't we? We wouldn't know how to be honest if it wasn't for truth. So the Word of God is true. And what does the Word of God do? That truth helps us to live an honest life. It helps us to make the right choices. When something comes up that is dishonest, where should our mind go? It should go to the truth. Amen? And the truth will lead us down the path of honesty. Amen? I'm going to tell you, the Word of God's honest. Amen? Word of God will tell you exactly what is right. The Word of God is a mirror. You know, the thing about a mirror is you can't stand before it and say, mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest of them all, and it just puts your picture up there, amen? Now, they may come up with one before this thing is over with, but you mark it down, that's just a lie hatched out of hell, amen? I'm telling you, the mirror tells the truth, amen? And sometimes we may not like what we see in the mirror, but I'll tell you, thank God for the mirror, because the mirror shows us who we are and shows us where we're at. I'll tell you, the mirror, the Word of God, it just tells us who we are. It tells us where we're at. Why? So that we can think properly, amen? If you had a mirror that lied to you, you'd go out thinking pretty good about yourself, wouldn't you? Man, I look pretty good. But the world would see you differently. The Word of God reveals who we are. And we live in a time of such dishonesty, but just because the world's dishonest doesn't mean we have to be tonight. We don't have to think on schemes and plans. And you know, in a church, and I hadn't preached this in a while, but it's probably good preaching to preach, amen? You know, in a church, you and I should have an honest testimony. We ought to pay our bills. Is that right? That's why I run out of money. We'll at least have the character to call them. Isn't that right? I found out when you owe somebody something, if you'll make contact with them and say, I'm having a hard time, but I'm going to give you something. You know, it may be $5, but it's something. Can I get a witness? You got to chip away at it. You got to pay those bills. Amen. You say, why? Because it's being honest. Christians ought to be honest. Amen. We ought not be crooked. We ought not go around scheming and plotting and all kinds of things like that. But we're to be truthful. We're to be honest. Our word ought to mean something. Our testimony ought to mean, and we ought to think on things that are true. And we ought to think on things that are honest. If something is dishonest, then we ought to stay away from it. If we got to lie to get something done, or if we got to bend the truth to get something done, then you and I don't need to have any part of that. Can I get an amen right there? That's the path. Think on things that are true. You see, the devil always wants you and I to think on things that are not true. He'll tell you you're not saved. Doesn't matter if it's true. He'll just keep on saying, you're not saved, you're not saved, you're not saved. Well, what about this? You know why? He wants to rob you of that joy, that security, that assurance. You see, what I do when the devil tells you, if you know you're saved and the devil tells you you're not saved, then take him back to the one thing that assures you that you are saved. And that's the truth. See, I'm not saved because of the experience that I had. And I'm not against the experiences. But my experience was different than your experience. And everybody has a different experience when it comes to coming to the cross and coming to the gospel. The gospel doesn't change and salvation doesn't change. And we all got saved the same way. You say, how's that? We all got saved by grace through faith. Amen? Plus nothing, minus nothing. We all got saved the same way. But if I get up and tell you how I got saved and you got up and told how you got saved, it's going to be a different experience in life. But I'm going to tell you, it's not the experience that saves me. It's the Word of God that saves me. And so the devil comes and he says, you know, you're not saved because what happened to them didn't happen to you. Well, I'm going to tell you, the experience may not have been the same. I'm going to tell you, the same thing that happened to them happened to you. If you believe the Word of God and you ask God to save you, then that's the same way they got saved. Amen. The devil tries to fill our minds with thinking on things that are not true. Well, he'll tell us things about, well, what if this happens in life? What if that happens in life? He's a master at trying to put lies and half-truths into our mind. You say, well, Brother Gravity, I don't want to think that way. Then just submerge yourself in the Word of God. Submerge yourself in the truth. Think on things that are honest. You know, there's a lot of things in life you cannot trust. You cannot trust. Always trust your feelings. You cannot always trust your feelings. You cannot always trust people. You cannot always trust circumstances. People say, well, I know this is the will of God because all these things happened. You know, everything happened in the right way. But I'm going to tell you something. Circumstances don't mean necessarily that's God's will. You better have a chapter and a verse. Nothing wrong with God using circumstances in our life, but don't make life decisions based on, you know, the stars lining up a certain way, or you looked outside and you saw clouds form in the right direction, or you put a fleece out and it came to pass. It might be the devil helping some of that stuff, but I'll tell you, the devil's not going to, the Bible's not going to change. Think on things that are honest. The path is honesty, and then the path is holiness. Look what he said, things that are just, that's righteousness. And whatsoever things are pure. You know, it's hard to get people to an altar nowadays to get saved. And it's hard to get people sometimes to repent of their sins. And I think one of the many reasons we see that in this day and times is because people's minds are so full of everything else. You think about how many things can run through your mind just through a cell phone. The hours that people spend scrolling and looking and doing things. And I realize we have to have cell phones. And I'm going to tell you something. It's amazing how many hours you and I both spend on a phone just using it for work and for things that we need in life, you know. And I don't like that any more than anybody else. But I'm telling you, I don't want the cell phone to rule my life. I don't want to get so connected that I can't have conversations with people and talk to people and that I can't function in life, you know. Every time the phone buzzes, I don't pick it up immediately. You say, well, what if it's an emergency? It'll buzz again. You say, Brother Grant, no, I'm just telling you the truth. If I'm reading my Bible or praying, I'm just not going to grab that phone right then. Because I know how the devil works. What did we do before we had cell phones? You know, we had to be a little more patient, didn't we? And you just can't let those things rule your life. I'm not going to spend every day. You know, some people, that's all they do. They're on their phone all day. And it's not just young people. They're constantly on that cell phone. You think about all the things that run through your mind. You know, you have to harness everything. Everything needs a limit. Everything needs to be put in its proper order. I mean, if you looked at my cell phone tonight, I'm telling you, you know, I don't know how many unanswered text messages I have. There's people mad at me tonight. I'm just going to go ahead and confess it to you. But my family's first. My church is second. And everybody else falls in behind that. There's only so many hours in a day. And the Bible says to redeem the time. That means to purchase, to buy it up. Redeem the time. And so, you know, we have to make a choice in life. What are we going to think about? I think sometimes the Facebook and the phone book and every other kind of book has taken preference over that book. You know what I'm saying tonight? I reckon it's a little quiet, but I'm going to tell you, it is not the end of the world if I text somebody and have to wait till tomorrow to hear back from them. Now, I hit a stump when I said that, but I'm telling you, it's just not the end of the world. I'm not talking about somebody laying in a hospital tonight. I'm just talking about you have to prioritize things in life. Or here's what will happen if you don't do that. You'll constantly be thinking on all those other things. See, that's the devil's greatest tool is distraction. He don't mind you going to church. He don't mind you doing that. But he doesn't want you living in this book. That's why he wants to put everything else here. I'm talking about things that are pure, things that are just, righteousness, holiness. Amen. You got to make time for those things and let those things come into our mind. Think on these things. I'm telling you, think on things that are clean and things that are holy. Don't let things in your life that are dirty or things that are off color or things that you know are just worldly. I know we all have to face worldliness. Amen. But what I'm telling you is, you know, just like you keep a clean house, Peter said, gird up the loins of your mind. Tie up your mind. Just straighten up the mind. Get some things. That means get the clutter out. Get the things out that don't need to be there in life. Get rid of them, amen. If something's a time waster, if something's a time consumer, just go ahead and get it out of there. Just go ahead and get rid of it. Well, preacher, people will think I'm weird. Let them think whatever they want to think. I'm telling you, you've got one mind, amen? And don't let the world, the flesh, and the devil determine and rule what you're going to think about in the daytime. Think on things. Think about the hours that people spend reading everything else but their Bible. Read the Bible, memorize the Word of God, put a verse of Scripture in front of you, write it on an index card, amen. It doesn't take a long time to read the Bible. It doesn't take a lot to think about it throughout the day. Like Brother Williams was talking about, quoting a verse of Scripture. I mean, I'm telling you, he's preaching my sermon tonight, but I'm telling you that I believe God ordered that divinely tonight. Hey, meditate. What do we meditate on? Everybody meditates on something. Do you meditate on your problems? Do you meditate on your sin? Do you meditate on your worries? Do you meditate on all the things in life? What are you thinking about? I'm telling you, it's a whole lot better just to think about holy things and pure things and think about the things that are righteous, amen, in this world. And then he talks about harmonious things, things that are lovely. What does that mean? Things that are lovely. Well, think about your family. Isn't that lovely tonight? You got a good spouse. You got children. Think about that every day. How blessed you are to have a family. Think about your church. We have a good church, don't we? I'm glad we got a choir. I'm glad we got a youth choir. You know, I'm glad we have Sunday school. How many of y'all like Sunday school? I love Sunday school, don't you? And we get to go to church and I think about those. I mean, our teachers, they study so hard so that we can have good lessons. And learn the Bible. They don't just come in and just give you whatever they think about. They give you the Word of God. Yeah, I mean, we have a lot. Those are lovely things in life. They're far more precious than anything material thing that we could own that would collect dust or any diamonds or rubies of this world. But you look down that pew and look at all these young people here tonight, and I think that's a lovely thing. I mean, God has been good to us. And you know, we have a choice. You can think about horrible things. Well, Brother Gravely, you know, people say, well, you know, it'd be like it's beautiful outside right now. And sometimes people say, well, you know, it's going to thunderstorm later. I'm like, why did you tell me that? You know, I didn't have to know that. Well, I tell you, you know, have you seen the news lately? No, but please don't tell me something terrible. I'm not sticking my head in the sand, you know, but don't you like just get up and think about lovely things? Well, I tell you, and some people, all they have is bad news all the time. It's always something that, you know, when they come, I mean, the glass is, it ain't even half empty, friend. It's bone dry with some people. I mean, all they ever think about is the worst and terrible. And I'll tell you, we're living in some dark day. It's always been dark, this world has. So I'm going to tell you something. It's not as dark today as it was in the days of Noah. Amen? And if Noah can find grace, you and I can find grace. Amen? I'm telling you, we're not living in Babylon, friend. We're not living in Nineveh tonight. We're living in America. We're not in Red China. We're not behind the Iron Curtain tonight. We're not in the jungles of Africa. I'm telling you, but God has been good to us. We got a reason to rejoice. I mean, we're in church. We're in the house of God. We're here under the King James Bible on a Wednesday night. I mean, God, that's lovely. Hallelujah. That's just lovely, isn't it? There's so many lovely things in life that God gives us that sometimes we fail to just stop and smell the roses of how good God, a harmonious thing. And then there's another path. It's happiness. Look what he said. Things that are of good report. You know, there's always something good to report if we look around. They sung that song tonight, God meant it all for good. You know, God always means it for good. You say, how do you know that? Romans 8. We know that all things, I don't know how that's possible, other than God. Only God can take all things and work them for good. He knows how to take the sad things, the bad things, the mistakes. He knows how to take the failures. He knows how to take the victories. He just takes every bit of it, you know. And he just mixes it all up. And when he gets done, somehow, somewhere, some way, we just always look back and say, you know what? It was just good because it was God. I didn't always enjoy it, but God meant that for good. And God meant that for good. You look at the life of Joseph. I'm talking about from the pit to the prison, to the palace. God took everything in Joseph's life. He may have ordered, not ordered everything, but what he allowed. He mixed it all up and said, Joseph, when I'm done, you're going to look back down life's journey and say, I've got nothing but a good report. I'm telling you, when I come to the end of this way, I'll have no sad stories. I'll just have one thing to say, and that is, God, you've been better to me than what I deserve. You've done far more than what I expected. You've been good. Hallelujah. Good report. I tell you, when we go to church, we ought to always have good reports. I'm not picking tonight. Mature Christians know what I'm talking about. Spirit-filled folks don't talk much about their woes and their sorrows. Not to say they never talk about them. Now, they don't talk much about them, if any at all. Somehow the Holy Spirit knows how to give strength, even in the hardest of times. And I've watched God's children down through the years go through deep valleys. And when I thought I would need to give them a word of encouragement, they gave us a word of encouragement. The young Christian, or the Christian that hasn't grown a lot, will often say how hard life is and the woes and the sorrows. They lean so much on that. But the mature saint knows that even in the hardest times, we think on things that are of a good report. That's how God's children goes through the hard times of life. As a man think, what do you think about? Do you think about the good thing? Don't listen. I'll say this and move on. Don't be so focused on the bad reports of life that you miss out on the good reports. For every one bad thing that I could ever think of that happened in my life, there's 50 good things. I was telling somebody today of a time in my life, and I won't go through those details tonight. It doesn't matter. Where God put me in a place that was very tough and difficult, in a place that I did not enjoy at that moment. And at times I would even wonder in the back of my mind, what am I doing and why am I here? And it took about 20 years. And one day going down the road, I looked back. I wasn't thinking about it, but God just brought it to my mind. He said, you remember when I put you here for this period of time in your life? He said, the reason I put you there was for this right here. You needed that to train you for this. At a time that I thought was such a negative in my life, God, it was really a positive. A lot of times, what we think are bad reports, the report's not finished. It's not concluded yet. It may start out kindly ugly, but just hold on. God isn't through writing, amen.
By the time you get to the last line, the report may have switched all the way around, because that's just the way God is. I mean, Joseph's report started out pretty bad. Prison, Potiphar's pit, Potiphar's house, then prison. I mean, that's a pretty bad report. But I'm telling you, through it all, the Bible said the Lord was with Joseph. Amen. I'm telling you, it wasn't Joseph doing the writing. It was God doing the writing. Amen. And when you got to the end, I think you'll agree with this. When you got to the end, what God had to say about Joseph, it was worth everything. I mean, to be sitting in a palace is one thing, but to go from a pit to a palace, that's a pretty good report. Amen? That gives hope for everybody and anybody, and God can do that. Think on the good things in life. Then think on the healthy things. If there's virtue, that's moral excellence. Think on things that are healthy. You know, what we think about determines how we live. Virtue. And then things that are heavenly. If there be any praise, think on those things. The Bible said that Paul and Silas prayed at midnight and they sang praises to God in that inner prison. Somehow Paul applied exactly what he preached here. He said, you know, we're in prison. We've been beaten with many stripes. But he said, Silas, if you'll pray, I'll sing. I don't know if either one of them was good singers or not. Probably, maybe not. Well, you're here. I'm not going to say that. I said most preachers are not, but you sing pretty good. And you play and you preach and I don't like you. Amen. Why do I pick on you every time you come? I don't know, but you just keep coming back and I'm so glad you do. He's never coming back. But you know, I don't know if he could sing, but it must have been a great sound to the Lord. He sang through the blood, the sweat, the tears. He sang in a time when you wouldn't think he would be singing. But he giveth a song in the night, doesn't he? That's the Lord. He leads his dear children along. Think tonight. Can you think of one thing to praise God for right now? Can you think of one thing before you go to bed tonight? And when you get up in the morning, can we think of one other thing? Well, we could think, God, thank you for letting me open my eyes this morning. Lord, thank you for giving me the mind and the mobility to get out of the bed. Thank you for a pillow. Or if you're where I'm from, it's a pillow. Thank you for a pillow. Thank you for a soft bed, a climate-controlled house. Thank you for food. Thank you for family. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for keeping me. Thank you for mercy and thank you for grace. And Lord, thank you for the Holy Spirit and thank you for the Word of God. And Lord, thank you for the brethren. Thank you, dear Lord, for an eternal hope and peace. And Lord, thank you that you're coming again. And Lord, thank you that for your will in my life and your plan. And thank you, God, that you got a purpose. And thank you for your protection. Thank you for your guidance. Thank you for your instructions. I mean, there's so much. It just never ends, does it? I mean, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, God said, you just go around and think about that. Think, brother. Think. Things aren't as bad as they seem if we'll just think. And then finally, here's the principle. After Paul says, finally, brethren, and he lists all these things and he gives them a path, here's the principle. Take what I've given to you and just think on it. You should just write those things down. When you get up in the morning, say, here's what my mind's going to be thinking on. Things that are true, that are honest. And when the devil brings something up, say, that's not true. And when something filthy comes your way, so that's not pure. I'm not thinking on that. That's not just. That's not righteous. When somebody comes up and they just, you know, they're just a Debbie Downer or a negative Bob. That's not a good report. Amen. Bad Bob. There you go. I'm not. You know, some people think you see them coming like, oh Lord, here it comes. Not them, but the report. And when they walk away, say, well, I'm not thinking about that. You know, that's a bad report. I'm not thinking on that. And then, no, I want to think on things that's moral. I'm going to think on things that are lovely. I don't think I'll use to. Man, I go to work every day and I sweat it out. And I mean, it's just you wouldn't. My job's around a bunch of heat. I know what that's like, but think about this. Think about this. You have a job. You're going to get a paycheck. Yeah, but I don't like my job. Yeah, but you have a job. You don't have to like it, but you have a job. But if you start thinking all day long, you'd be surprised how good that job can turn out. Think, brother, think. Quit letting the devil, that's what come to my mind today. Quit letting the devil rule your mind. It's a simple choice, but I'll tell you something. What did he say it started with? Things that are true. And everything that's listed in that verse is found in this book. Because this book is true, this book is honest, this book is pure, this book is just, this book is lovely, this book is of a good report, this book is full of virtue, and this book is full of praise. So what that tells me is that if I try to live tomorrow without this book, it goes back to what you said, I cannot think properly on any of those things if I leave the one thing out. That they all are. Let's stand tonight. Simple question. What are you thinking about? Because how you think determines your victory in life. You got to stay in the book. We got to stay in the book. You know, as a preacher, I cannot read my Bible every day, hunting a sermon, we do that, but I'm saying that can't be the motive. The first motive is to get something. And then God, He'll give the rest of that. But it's got to be about our thinking tonight. If you got impure thoughts, come ask God to help you tonight. If you all the time living depressed and down, come ask God to help you tonight. If you are all the time, if the devil is playing with your mind in any form or fashion, come ask God to help you tonight. And just get up tomorrow and just do this. Just start reading your Bible. And then throughout the day, just meditate on what you've read. Let the Lord help you. The Word of God has so much power. If we'll just let it run through our mind, it'll give us victory in our mind. As we sing tonight, you come if you need to come.